we are terrified. You know, what are we supposed to do with no money in a place where there's no work? There aren't any urchins. They've shut the bait on the scallops. We don't have any clams. You know, so you turn to picking periwinkles, but then you're hit with a rockweed harvest that's taking everything.
Julie Keene harvests snails for a living in Cobbs Cook Bay, Maine, a way of life she's fighting to save. This is a Nature Stories podcast. I'm Samantha Brown. This podcast is curated by Atlantic Public Media in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. Each week we feature pieces about the intersection of people and place. Up now, Julie and the Snails, produced by Alix Blair with the Salt Institute for Documentary Studies.
That song, Under the Boardwalk, Down by the Sea. For me, it's Under the Sea.
Julie Keene's dropping periwinkle snails in her bucket on the shores of Cobbs Cook Bay. Locals here call these snails wrinkles, and the people that harvest them, wrinklers.
Now I'm in my element. It's like a treasure hunt picking wrinkles.
She walks the rocky beach at low tide, lifting seaweed, gathering the snails that live underneath.
Gold nuggets. Little nuggets.
It's early March and it's windy. There are icebergs in the water.
Just beauty. Beautiful, beauty, beauty everywhere.
For the past year, Julie's made her entire living wrinkling. On a good day, she can make $200. But lately, she's been coming to the beach for another reason.
I'm going to get a lot less today because I've been taking a lot of pictures.
Julie walks towards a rocky ledge with a small camera. She's taking pictures of rockweed, the seaweed that's home to the wrinkles. She says it's missing in a lot of places.
See this? They've cut. That's how you can tell is the lighter part of the seaweed.
Last summer, a Canadian company, Acadian Sea Plants Limited, harvested rockweed here. Rockweed's valuable. It's used in fertilizers, animal feed, cosmetics. Julie worries that if rockweed goes, so will the periwinkles. Her son Joseph harvests wrinkles while she photographs. He's worried, too.
If you look around it, everything that was healthy is now unhealthy. We're finding a lot more dead wrinkles on the beach, and it's like cutting down the trees in the forest. How do the animals live? You know, they don't. I mean, you look at us. If there wasn't seaweed, I wouldn't be surviving right now.
Driving through Lubeck, one of the central towns on the bay, it's easy to see why Julie calls it the Wild West. The streets are deserted. The houses have peeling paint and boarded up windows. Julie's lived here most of her life.
I see desperation everywhere I go in this community, and it's not getting any better. We're a dying culture. We're losing our whole way of life.
Their work here has always been connected to the sea, but fishing industries collapsed one by one and took the jobs with them. Wrinkling is one of the only things left to do. Julie's been a fisherman all her life, like the generations of family before her. She says in her grandfather's day when an outsider, like Acadian Sea Plants, threatened the community's way of life, they just sink their boats. And many people here still think that's the best option. But Julie knows that can't work anymore, so she's trying to fight in a different way. She's taking them on at a public hearing in Augusta.
I don't want to consider myself a leader, and I don't want to consider myself as knowing more than other people, or it's my job to protect the bay. I can't help but rise up and say, no, this has to stop. Somebody has to make people listen. It's not in my makeup to lay down and let somebody kick me, because if you kick me, I bite. Yes, good morning. This is Julie Keene. I'm coming next week to Augusta.
Julie's bedroom doubles as her office. She keeps the coffee maker next to her computer. She uses empty cat food tins as ashtrays. They're filled with cigarettes.
And I'm sure the governor would like to know what is going on.
Julie spends a large part of her time calling bureaucrats. She wants to convince Maine's Marine Resource Committee to impose stronger regulations on the rockweed harvesting, if not stop it altogether.
Okay, I'm removing my pictures from my album.
Julie takes out a photo album dedicated to rockweed photos and points to a picture of a rock with short tufts of seaweed. It kind of looks like a lawn that's just been cut.
This is a picture of it up close, so you can see what they left. They certainly didn't leave 16 inches. They just took the whole plant.
Rockweed harvest isn't regulated except for one rule. You have to leave 16 inches of seaweed when you cut it. But Julie says no one is enforcing that rule. And the next harvest begins again in 8 weeks.
We are terrified. You know, what are we supposed to do with no money in a place where there's no work? There aren't any urchins. They've shut the bait on the scallops. We don't have any clams. You know, so you turn to picking periwinkles, but then you're hit with a rockweed harvest that's taking everything.
This has been so much work, Julie's had to give up wrinkling, her only source of income. With a week before the hearing, she feels desperate.
There's just so much here. I'd do anything in the world to save this place, and I just can't do it. Because it's so far to Augusta, and people in southern Maine don't have a clue about how we live. Well, sometimes I just want to give up. Tired.
Acadian Sea Plants Limited has been harvesting rockweed throughout Canada for over 30 years. Over the phone, their scientist, Dr. Raul Ugarte, says that the rockweed harvest is sustainable. It grows back year after year.
The important thing here is what degree of impact we are producing. We are producing a very minimum impact on this.
Dr. Ugarte says the amount the company harvests is so small, it's not causing any damage. But Dr. Robin Hadlock-Seely, a marine biologist, disagrees. She's working with Julie and says there's no research to back up Dr. Ugarte's claim.
It's much easier for them to come in and do it and then say, well, you don't have any evidence that it's causing damage, so why stop it? No one has any idea. No one's done any long-term studies.
Dr. Hadlock-Seely says Cobscook Bay's geography makes it an incredibly unique ecosystem with some of the largest tides in the world. And because of that, it shouldn't be compared to other places where rockweed's already been harvested. She says people usually worry about natural resources too late.
We're in the Hall of Augusta. We're going in to testify. What time is it?
It's 12:40.
All right.
How are you feeling?
I'm going up to smoke.
Julie says she stayed up 20 hours yesterday, preparing for the hearing, practicing her testimony.
I'm all right, except my heart's pounding. I just took an aspirin, so I won't have a heart attack. If I can find some matches, I need a cigarette.
I call the meeting of the Joint Standing Committee on Marine Resources to order.
As the hearing begins, Julie sits in the front row. The room split in two like a wedding, with people for the harvest on one side and people against it on the other. There are concerned community members and conservationists from Cobscook Bay. On the harvest side, there are several people from Acadian Sea Plants and small business owners in seaweed processing.
My name is Julie Keane.
When it's Julie's turn to talk, she hands out wrinkle shells to the committee members. She thinks this will connect them to her way of life, but most of them laugh or pretend to eat them.
You may be thinking, how can we put limits on an economic activity in times of a national financial crisis?
When the hearing ends, after 4 hours, it's really hard to say what will happen. The committee seemed convinced by both sides.
I think I got in the best I could. I think the legislature's learning that it ain't quite so cut and dry.
3 weeks later, Julie's in Lubeck on the beach. She sits on a chunk of broken concrete. It's been 3 days since she heard the committee's decision. They proposed more regulations, including strict fines and jail time if the rockweed's cut too short.
You know, my gut reaction was victory. That we've made a difference. They always say, you always say that thing that one person can make a difference, you know.
But it's not over. It has to be approved by Maine's House and Senate. In the meantime, the rockweed harvest can go on with no oversight.
Can I sleep at night? I'm still not sleeping. I dreamed about it all night. Because I don't know how it's going to turn out yet.
All Julie can do now is wait on the final decision and hope that it will protect her wrinkles and her community's way of life. For Salt Radio, I'm Alix Blair.
Support for this podcast comes from the Nature Conservancy, online at nature.org/stories, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. To hear more pieces like this one, go to the Public Radio Exchange at prx.org. If you have thoughts or feedback, send them to us at podcast@tnc.org. From Woodsole, Massachusetts, I'm Samantha Brown. Join us next week for a brand new Nature Stories podcast.